Good morning, and thank you for joining us again this week. Now, the purpose of this time this morning is to fix our eyes on Jesus. The book of Hebrews describes Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, he's the one who begins and completes the Christian life. And also we've done this morning to encourage each other, as Hebrews says, to hold firmly onto the hope that he has given us, and to spur one another on to love and obedience. So let's pray for each other this morning as we begin. God our Father, you are always more ready to give your good gifts to us than we are ready to seek them. And you are willing to give more than we deserve. Help us today to seek you so that we may truly find you, to ask so that we may joyfully receive, and to knock so that the door of your mercy may be opened for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we're continuing our summer series, following God's people through the Old Testament after they've been brought out of slavery in Egypt in the book of Exodus, and as they journey towards the promised land, the land God has promised to bring them to and give them. And today we're focusing on Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. And in chapter 13, God's people have come to the edge of the promised land, the land of Canaan. And Moses sends out 12 men to spy out the land and see what's there. And we're going to discover what happens as we take up the story in verse 25 in chapter 13. And you may want to have that open in front of you if you want to look up Numbers chapter 13. And we'll start reading at verse 25. But before we have that reading, we're going to sing. And we're going to sing praise to the King of Heaven.
Today's first reading is from Numbers, chapter 13, verse 25, through to chapter 14, verse 4. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there were powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once and take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we travelled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too." Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. "If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness," they complained. "Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt?" And they plotted amongst themselves, "Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Nick, for reading that passage for us. And if any of the children are listening this morning, it's time to begin our mission. Are you ready? Because I wonder, as Nick was reading, did you notice that some spies were sent on a special mission? God had promised to give this land to his people. And if you have Numbers 13 open in front of you in the Bible, then in Numbers 13, look at verse 1. "The Lord now said to Moses, 'Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites.'" Now there is God's promise, the land I'm giving to my people. And this is going to be a brilliant place to live. It's called a land flowing with milk and honey. Lots of good things to enjoy, lots of good things that God was going to give his people. And God had promised to hand over this land to his people, the Israelites. And so Moses sends these spies into Canaan to find out what's there, to find out some encouragements to bring back to the people. And Moses says to the spies, "Look, go and bring back some grapes, bring back some nice things and treats for us that will encourage the people, and the people will think, that's a great place to live. We want to go and receive this land that the Lord is giving us." But did you notice something interesting about the spies? When Moses selects the spies, one of the spies is called Hoshea. And Hoshea means he saves. But Moses takes Hoshea to one side and he changes his name to Joshua. And Joshua means the Lord saves. Because Moses wants the people to know that it's the Lord who's going to give this land to his people. And he's the one who's going to save them. And by the way, the interesting thing is that the name Jesus is really just a different version of the name Joshua, the Lord saves. Because Jesus is the one who's going to save his people and bring his people into their new home with him, the place he has promised them. But I'm talking far too much now. It's time to get on with this mission together. And I've heard that nearby there's a place with some special treats, a land flowing with milk and chocolate. And I'd quite like to go and see what this place is like. So I've got my special spy glasses on so that I can go undetected. And I've heard there are some people in this land who are very big and scary. But I still want to go and find out what's there. So I'm going to put on my special spy mask. And if you're ready to go with me, we'll start our mission. Off we go. Well, I've made it back from the land flowing with milk and chocolate. And I've got some grapes here as a little treat to bring back. And do you know that the spies who came out of the land of Canaan brought some grapes with them as well to encourage the people and show the people just how good this land really was, to encourage them to go and receive it from the Lord. And can you see what they say in verse 27? They say the land is a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, that's a picture of the great future that's promised to Christians today, for everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus. And God promises to bring us to a place where life is good and life with God is good. There's no more pain and suffering, no more sin or sorrow, and no more dying and loss. But life is good with God, and people there enjoy life with him and his good gifts that he pours out on his people. And Christians today should fix our eyes on that great future that's been promised to us. The spies who were sent by Moses should have fixed their eyes on that future. They should have fixed their eyes on God himself and his promises to them. The Lord saves, and he's the one who's going to bring his people into this land. But instead of trusting God, these people focused on the problems. Verse 28. The people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Now, here are some of the things that the spies said to the people. They said, these people are massive. They're like giants. Next to them, I feel like a grasshopper. Their cities are like huge fortresses. And we're all going to die if we try to take this land. Now, that's interesting that they were so scared and fearful of going in to take this land because of the people who lived there. And the spies got all the people worried and they started to fear. But there was one spy who stood out, one spy who was different, and his name was Caleb. And Caleb, it says, do you notice in verse 30? Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Verse 31, how did the people respond? Well, the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travelled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. And the people we saw are huge. We even saw giants there, descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Well, do you think that's true? Do you think it's true that all the people living there were huge? Do you think it's true that they actually saw giants? And whenever they say that they felt like grasshoppers, that just sounds a little bit silly, doesn't it? These people just don't seem to trust God's promises. They don't believe that the Lord saves. And he's going to give them this land he's promised. Well, let's pause our story there. And a little later on, we're going to find out what happens next. But before we do, I want to show you this advert here, because if you need more practice as a spy, and let's face it, I need more practice as a spy, then this is the thing for us. It's the holiday club that's coming up, run by Holy Trinity Leicester. And it's running from the 10th to the 14th of August. And you can join in online with Jerry and I and some other leaders, and we're going to have a great time together. They've promised us games and challenges and workouts, and I'm not sure about the workouts just yet, but there's stories and jokes and songs and crafts, and it sounds like lots of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. So I hope I'll see you at that if you're aged between 5 and 11. So if your age is 5 to 11, then this is the thing for you between the 10th to the 14th of August. Well, the Christian faith is all about personal trust in the Lord Jesus and in what he's done for us. It's about taking God at his word and receiving the gift of salvation that he has promised. And the reason that we can trust him is because of what Jesus has done. And normally we remember this using a creed or a short summary of the Christian faith. And this morning, we're going to use a creed that actually appears in the Bible. It's in Paul's letter to the Philippians. So the words will appear on the screen, and I invite you to join me in affirming our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, this week that's coming up for each of us, we don't know what it's going to bring, but we do know that what we've just said about Jesus defines for us what this week is all about. It's all about living with Jesus as Lord over everything and about glorifying God through him. It's about trusting in the one who humbled himself even to the cross for you and I. And it's about living each day in love and obedience to him. And of course, none of us achieves that each and every day. We continue to sin and we continue to fail to trust in him. We forget that he is Lord. So let's admit our failure to trust him as he deserves. And let's return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying these words on the screen together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Well, the Bible says that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. So let's pray and thank God now for that great gospel, which assures us of forgiveness. Our Father, we know that you are slow to anger and full of compassion. We know that you forgive all who humbly repent and all who turn to your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you that Jesus has borne our sins on the cross, and that by his wounds we have been healed. Amen. Well, now I've got four things coming up this week in our church family news that you can get involved in. And the first one is on Monday night, 5 p.m. We've got our meeting on Zoom for Riot, and particularly for the younger group in Riot. So 5 p.m. on Monday on Zoom, if you're part of that group. Then on Wednesday this week, it's really a day focusing on prayer. So we've got our prayer meeting at lunchtime, 12:30 on Zoom. And that's a small informal gathering of people. And you can bring your prayers and requests and praises to the Lord. And it's great to meet at that time on Wednesdays, 12:30. But on Wednesday evening, we continue to pray and we have partnering in prayer. And that's joint with the churches in Enderby. And it's at 7 p.m. again on Zoom, and it's a chance to hear how other churches are doing and to pray for them and to hear them praying for us and to share in that partnership together. So if you can join in Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Zoom for partnering in prayer. And then the fourth thing is Thursday evening, again at 7 p.m. and that's Discipleship Explored. It's a course we've been doing, going through the book of Philippians and looking at what it means to be a Christian and how we grow as a Christian, trusting in Jesus. So if you could join us again at 7 p.m. on Thursday night, Discipleship Explored. All the details of those four things will all be on the email bulletin, which I hope you've received. And I look forward to joining you on Zoom at each of those meetings. Well, now we're going to sing a hymn that's called All My Hope on God is founded. You remember that the spies have given a bad report of the land God has promised them, and the people would rather go back into slavery than trust God and take this land. And in a moment, Sue Parker is going to read the next part of the story. We're going to find out what happens next as Sue Parker from All Saints Thurlaston reads from Numbers chapter 14. Before she does that, we're going to sing. We're going to sing this hymn to put all our hope and our trust in God, as the people should have done. All my hope on God is founded.
Verses 5 to 25. Then Moses and Aaron fell down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, "The land we travelled through and explored is a wonderful land, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. Then I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they are." But Moses objected. "What will the Egyptians think when they hear about it?" he asked the Lord. "They know full well the power you displayed in rescuing your people from Egypt. Now if you destroy them, the Egyptians will send a report to the inhabitants of this land, who have already heard that you live among the people. They know, Lord, that you have appeared to your people face to face, and that your pillar of cloud hovers over them. They know that you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now if you slaughter all these people with a single blow, the nations that have heard of your fame will say, the Lord was not able to bring them into the land he swore to give them, so he killed them in the wilderness. Please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you have claimed, for you said, the Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. But he does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. In keeping with your magnificent unfailing love, please pardon the sins of this people, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt. Then the Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested, but as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I have performed, both in Egypt and the wilderness. But again and again they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the land I swore to give to their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Now turn around and don't go on toward the land where the Amalekites and Canaanites live. Tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Sue, for reading for us. And it's pretty clear from what we've read that the people are very afraid, aren't they? Full of fear, and particularly afraid of other people. And I wonder if you've ever experienced that. Maybe the thought of just mentioning Jesus in a conversation with another person who you know is not a Christian strikes you with fear. Maybe the word evangelism, when you hear it in church, brings you out in a cold sweat. Or the idea of passing on a Christian book to someone is just a step too far, and you are full of fear of what they might think, fear of other people. Maybe not just as individuals, but as a church, we sometimes feel small, and we feel like we can't do all the things we would love to do. And we feel like we're grasshoppers in front of other people. We see the problems and we doubt that God can do very much at all. Well, these people in Numbers 14 are so afraid of going into the land that God has promised that they would rather go back to Egypt, back to slavery, than go into Canaan. Remember, they used to be slaves in Egypt, and yet they think that would be better than going into this land that God has promised. In verse 3, in chapter 14, they say, wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. And even when Caleb and Joshua, the two faithful spies, even when those men remind them that God has promised to give them this land, how do they respond in verse 10? The whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Wow! You know, it is no surprise then that God responds with judgment in verse 10. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? Now here's the question. Why should the Israelites have been so confident that God would give them the land? Well, God says, will they never believe me, even though they've seen all the miraculous signs that I've done among them? So God's saying, you know, you could look back. You could look back at the Exodus from Egypt, all those plagues and wonders that I did to rescue you. You could look back to the crossing of the Red Sea and how the waters were raised up and dry land was made available. Or look back to how I provided you with manna in the desert and fed you and took care of you as you wandered and followed me. They had loads of reasons to trust God and believe his promise that he would care for them and bring them into this new home he promised to give them. But they refused to trust him. And Christians today are warned not to be like the people in Numbers 13 and 14, not to rebel against God in unbelief. But instead, Christians are to keep trusting Jesus, to keep trusting God's goodness and his power and his promises to bring us to a new home with him. And the book of Hebrews actually picks up on this story that we read in Numbers. And Hebrews in chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 6 of chapter 3. It says, Christ, as the Son of God, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miraculous signs for 40 years. So I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. And then just a couple of verses from chapter 4, the following chapter. It says, for this good news, this gospel, that God has prepared this rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good, because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. So this story is a warning to us, isn't it? Not the kind of warning that's supposed to make us doubt and deeply fearful and worry that we'll miss out on our new home with the Lord, the place of rest that God has promised. Now, we're not supposed to be filled with doubt and fear. After all, the whole point of this story in Numbers 13 and 14 is to show us that we should trust God and have confidence in him. And the reason that God is angry with the spies and the people is because they do doubt and are fearful that they cannot enter this place that he's promised. And so it's a warning to us not to fill us with doubt, but to fill us with confidence and faith that God will keep his promise to us. We can be confident that we'll enter God's new kingdom, not because of your strength, your ability, but because he has promised to give it to you as a gift. And he's promised to overcome all the obstacles that stand in the way. He has overcome sin, he's overcome Satan, and he will overcome death itself. And he'll bring us into this wonderful place with him, a place of rest. Well, maybe you think, how can I be sure that he will do it? Well, how could the Israelites have been sure? What did God say? He said, look back at all the things that I've done. And as Christians, we too can look back and we can look at the fact that God's Son has come all the way from heaven to die on a cross for you and for me. How much he's loved us and been faithful. We can look back at our own lives and how he's been faithful to us, bringing us through many trials and temptations and kept us all the way. And we can look forward then with confidence. But actually, we have another reason to be confident. Jesus himself has already made it into the promised land. He entered heaven on our behalf and now sits at God's right hand. Jesus has proved faithful. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, bringing us forgiveness. He is the way into the promised land of heaven. And it's by trusting and following him that we will make it there. He is faithful and he is able and he will get us there. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And isn't it wonderful to have all of his promises? Promises to bring us through all the difficulties of this life. Not necessarily to take the difficulties away. He often uses the difficulties to refine us and make us more like him. But he promises to bring us through them, ultimately to be with him and to keep us safe with him. To bring us through all the trials, even through death itself, and bring us to the place of rest. And here are some of his promises that we can hold on to this week. Here's one from John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. A promise that our salvation is secure no matter what. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. What a great promise of security this week. Now here's the second one, a promise from Hebrews chapter 13. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. A great promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us, as Jesus said. And then finally, a promise from Philippians to finish the good work he has begun in us. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Three great promises to make a note of, to remember this week and to hold on to. There might be times when we feel like we're small and weak. We might feel like, as a church family, we're like grasshoppers. We might feel afraid of doing anything for fear of other people. But to live with that kind of fear is to live with a very small view of God, almost to make God seem like a grasshopper himself, and a very small view of his promises. But clinging to his word to us, his promises, trusting him and believing that the Lord saves and he will bring us to where he wants us to be. By doing that, by trusting and believing, we will finally make it, as Hebrews says. With him, in his place of rest, and enjoying him and all his good gifts together. Well, let's pray for the week that lies ahead, and for thanks for all of these things that we can trust and believe in. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this warning that we should not have hearts that doubt and distrust you, but help us to look back at all the wonderful things you've done for us, to look back at actual history, at the events that happened at the cross, the life of Jesus, his death for us, and his resurrection, that gives us certain hope that one day we will be where he is. And help us to see him now, seated at your right hand, in that promised land, that place that you've promised for us. And help us keep on, eyes fixed on him, running the race and enduring and trusting in him. And we thank you that we can be confident one day that you will keep those promises and bring us to be with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jackie Smith from Enderby Parish Church is going to lead us in prayer. We're going to continue to pray now.
The psalmist writes, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Let us pray. Gracious Father, nothing compares to knowing that we can trust in you. When other things and other people are easily shaken, we know that you are the only safe place to find refuge. Today, we are thankful that because you are our refuge, we can pour out our hearts to you. Many of us will be feeling restless or anxious about something this morning. So today, we echo back to you King David's longing for rest, and we make his prayer our own. Help us to find our rest in you alone. Help us to trust you at all times, pouring out our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, You are our rock, our salvation, our fortress, and our refuge, and that's why we praise you. Amen. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for those who are sick, and as we call to mind those known to us, may they be restored to health of body and mind according to your will, and in the presence of your people give thanks to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, your last words to your disciples before you left this earth was that they should go and preach the gospel in all the world and to every nation. We praise you for all who since then have obeyed your command, and for those who brought the gospel to our own shores. Help us to be your witnesses today. Show us how to make the good news clear to our own generation and to our own community, and may the gospel's power be seen more clearly in our lives for the honour and praise of your name. Amen. God said through the psalmist, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me." Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with thanksgiving today so that we will glorify you by giving thanks to you. We praise you because you are a kind and generous God. Thank you for your commitment to bring your work in us to completion one day. We praise you that you love us right now because we are in Christ and we look forward to one day being like Christ. Father, thank you for being at work for good in all things, even in the wounds that still hurt us and the failures that still haunt us, in the unanswered prayers, in the biggest success and in the biggest disappointment. Thank you for being our God, and thank you for being good all the time, when we see it and even when we don't. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's finish with these prayers by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Peace.
Although let's conclude our time together this morning by praying together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we have been created by your power and redeemed by your love. So we need you by your Spirit and your Word to guide and strengthen us this week. May we give ourselves to your service and live this week with love for one another and love for you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so the blessing that Moses spoke in the book of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.